The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Friday, SportsCenter is teaming up with College Game Day for a campus rush live from Columbus, Ohio, on the eve of Notre Dame versus Ohio State on ABC. Join us outside the Horseshoe with everything you need to know heading into the first full Saturday of college football action. SportsCenter's Campus Rush, live from Ohio State at 6 Eastern on ESPN.
All right, we are back in our trivia question today, which usually comes from our man Sneaky Hembo. Which member of our staff is going to be getting significantly less sleep for the foreseeable future? The answer is going to be Sleepy Hembo. Congratulations to Paul Hembekidis and his beautiful wife, Lizzie, who also works here at ESPN, as she gave birth to twins on Monday, Charlotte and Michelle, who came into this world. I am particularly honored they chose to name one of the girls after me. Hembo has been with me for 10 years now. He's been on this show from day one. And so little Michelle is unquestionably my namesake. So I have chosen a favorite amongst the Hembekidis twins. But congratulations, Hembo and Lizzie. A job well done. And so there's nothing sneaky about that one, right?
That's beautiful. Sneaky that you would take credit for one of those.
What do you mean take credit? There's no credit. As far as I'm concerned, there's no doubt they named that girl after me. Okay, no one's ever going to be changing my mind on that. All right, we welcome you. Again, we're live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. She's Kmart. I'm Greeny. Booger's ready to go in this hour along with Nico. Let's do this. It is time to get up. We're talking about the Cowboys, where the D in Big D may stand for disappointment. Because Jerry has high hopes. Can his team possibly live up to them? We're talking about it. Plus, a win-win in San Francisco. Well, they were two wins from being champions last year. Does their latest move make them the team to beat in the NFC? And then Tampa Tom, he's tired. And it hasn't even begun yet. Why the task ahead? Maybe the tallest he's ever faced. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And the time of year has come where we must follow every move this man makes. Aaron Judge at the plate, Michael Kay at the mic.
High fly ball, deep right field. Ward back, turning, looking, see ya! Number 51, Aaron Judge, a three-run home run, and the Yankees lead 7-2.
So Judge joins Roger Maris as the only players ever in the American League with this many home runs entering the month of September. Now, we all remember how 61, or you should know, how 1961 ended with the 61 home runs and the asterisk for Roger Maris. That asterisk has since been removed and perhaps applied in the minds of many to some others. So we'll see if Judge is able to get to his current pace of 63. That will get very interesting. We'll keep you posted. Meanwhile, we're 8 days away from the start of the NFL season. The marquee Sunday night matchup in week one will be Cowboys-Bucks. Yesterday, weekly radio appearance for Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, talking about his team's narrative heading into this season. Listen.
I think that we did. We came up short, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I do want to burn it in our minds. I like that, continually reminding that we need to not only get in the playoffs, but we need to get way deep into the playoffs so we got a chance. I think this team is reflecting that. So that is the narrative. Get in a better spot to stay longer in the playoff.
All right. So, I mean, there's no question he's putting his team on notice and maybe the man on your screen there on notice as the head coach. Caesars Sportsbook likes him about as much as Jerry does. They have the fifth shortest odds to win the conference. They, of course, haven't done that since 1995. All of that history has been well documented over and over again. But as we bring Booger McFarland into the conversation for the first time this morning with Kimberly Martin and Rob Ninkovich as the squad today, you know, Booger, I write down the words that people say sometimes. And Jerry said, we need to get deep into the playoffs. Right? He's putting pressure on this team before the season. Can they live up to it?
Well, it's all going to depend on the quarterback, Greeny. And here's what happens. You know, we often talk about playing on a rookie contract for a quarterback, how that gives a team so much flexibility, right? But what happens when that quarterback starts making 40-plus million a year? That means now you have less flexibility in other places, and that QB, meaning Dak Prescott, has to be a star. So any shortcomings that this team has offensively, he's going to have to make up for it. And you hope in year two of this defense that it's going to be better under Dan Quinn, but that's what he ultimately means. Yeah. They have what it takes, but a lot of pressure is going to fall on Dak Prescott. When you make that amount of money and the team is built the way they are, he's going to have to show the load.
I think that's fair. And so I think it does bring up this question, Rob Ninkovich. I'll pose it to you. I think that we all agree that Dak Prescott is an excellent quarterback, but then there's another level that only the most select few wind up going to, and that is the level where they can erase those mistakes. They can overcome whatever shortcomings teams have. That's exactly what Booger was talking about. Is Dak Prescott ready to be that guy for that for this team this year, Ninko?
I don't think he can overcome the lack of discipline. And he even said that they have to correct the penalties, which is discipline. So at the end of the day, I don't care how good you are. If you're a quarterback and you're playing behind the sticks, you have third and 20s, second and 15, it's almost impossible. It really is. So this team needs to be more disciplined. They need to be better, less penalties, smarter, situational awareness. If they do that, they have the quarterback. They have some pieces. Now, they got to protect them. They got to have a good offensive line that's protecting that quarterback. But I don't see this team being better than they were last year if they do not correct those mistakes and the penalties and the discipline.
Isn't that they interesting? Just can't. So Kmart, let me come to you. We got Booger talking about the quarterback, and I think that's reasonable. We got Ninko talking about the coach. At the end, let's face it, that's what he's talking about, is the coach. Which to you do you have your eye most closely on as the Cowboys begin their season?
Unfortunately, it falls on Dak, especially when you think of the contract that he has. I agree with Ninko that he can't offset everything, every hole that's missing here. There's only last year, think about how many times we were here in this studio talking about Mike McCarthy and the decisions and how he puts his team in positions to win. Does he understand clock management? Does he understand rules? Like those kind of things Dak cannot help you with.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the position, because of the contract, because when you look in that division, the Eagles may have reloaded and improved their roster, but he's the best quarterback in this division, which is why it all will fall on Dak. And because Jerry Jones is telling us we need a deep playoff run, Dak is on notice, just like everybody else.
Look, he's not only the best quarterback in the division, he's the only certainty at quarterback in that division. And that should give them a leg up. Quickly, Booger, we've talked so much on this show, but I haven't had you the last couple of days on all the penalties and all of that. And Ninko was talking about that at length yesterday. He comes from New England, obviously, the most buttoned-up organization that there is. The Cowboys are unbuttoned when it comes to this. Can that be solved for this team this season, Booger?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Yeah, Greeny, it's one of those things you have to put an emphasis on, meaning the coaches, the assistant coaches, everybody in the building has to make it a point of emphasis. And when we're on the practice field, we can't just lackadaisically say, you can't hold there. No, we need to point it out and make an example of everybody that does it. And if you guys honestly want to win, We can't do those things, Greeny. There's a reason that the teams that win are the best coach teams and they don't commit those penalties. It's because they make it a point of emphasis every day at practice. And it's not just having the officials there. We've all seen the coaches do that. It's having consequences. If you're going to commit penalties, regardless of how much money you make, you can't play. And when that happens, because that's really the only thing the coaches can do, because you're getting paid a lot of money. So I can take away your play time, and then that gets the players' attention.
We'll see if that look, 37 penalties in the preseason is a very, very bad start. It all gets completely forgotten if they play a clean game week one. Yep. Let's see where they get. So that's one team in the NFC with big thoughts. Here's another. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. They stunned everybody by agreeing earlier this week on a restructured one-year contract. Keeps Jimmy G in San Francisco. At least for the moment, there's still the trade deadline. But as of now, Jimmy G is the backup to Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan was asked about his conversation with Lance and how he took the news.
Trey was great. I mean, there was no problems with it at all. I mean, I told him the exact same things that I told Jimmy, why we were the options of bringing Jimmy here, that it had to be in a backup type deal, which Jimmy knew that was his option, and that was the only option. I mean, Trey and Jimmy have a great relationship. I think Trey actually likes having Jimmy in the building, and Trey was very grateful to how Jimmy was to him last year. And we feel very strongly from the two people that Jimmy will give that back to Trey this year.
Okay, so Booger McFarland, again, I've not had you on here. I've had some people describe this as a win-win in San Francisco. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, Greeny, it can be a win-win for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, meaning Jimmy Garoppolo still thinks he has an opportunity to play, knowing that Trey Lance is not ready. Like, that ultimately is what we get to here. Because if Trey Lance were ready to play, I don't think there was any way they were going to have Jimmy Garoppolo here. And here's what I mean by ready to play. Fully ready to lead this team, ready to run the offense fully. There were no question marks about him. He's going into the season the starting quarterback of a team that has the talent to win the Super Bowl. And the biggest question mark is at a position at quarterback that he's manning. And to me, that's the issue here. I know Trey Lance is super talented, Greeny. And if you told me 3 years from now he could be the MVP of the league, I may bet with you. But the problem is not that. The problem is they need him to be that guy now. And I don't know if he can be that. That's why it's a win-win. Because if he can't, now you have a quarterback that's been there and done that in Jimmy Garoppolo right behind him.
I agree. And look, Booger, you and I sat together in Cleveland the night he was drafted number 3 overall when San Francisco came all the way up to get him. And the belief was this is a long-term play. This is a guy who is going to be a great player, but it's going to take a while to get there. And you fast forward a year and they're getting rid of Jimmy G and people are talking about Trey Lance for the MVP. Uh-huh. Maybe, just maybe, Kimberly, I know it kills you to admit this. Maybe Mike Tannenbaum was right and that keeping Jimmy G will up being the most valuable move they make
year. I'm not giving Mike Tannenbaum credit for that, because I was saying that in March as well.
Okay.
And when I was saying that, everybody was telling me, no, Kimberly, you got to cut bait, you got to move on, you got to clear the runway for Trey Lance because this is his team. And Kyle Shanahan was telling me the same thing. Like, this is Trey's team. We are moving on from Jimmy. Now, all of a sudden, there's no trademark for Jimmy, and now you're telling me, oh, this is actually the best situation for all sides involved. I actually think they should keep Jimmy. But now here's what I don't like. The first thing Booger said was, this is about Trey Lance not being ready. And the whole point of getting Jimmy G in the cloud and all that and the drama out of the building was so that we wouldn't have questions about how they felt internally about Trey Lance. They were riding with Trey. Now, you've got a guy that you can say he didn't get you to the Super Bowl, but you have a guy who was your quarterback in the Super Bowl on your bench. And anytime Trey falters, anytime he throws a pick, anytime the fans are, oh, I don't know, is it Trey gonna blah? You've got the guy who got you to the Super Bowl on the bench. And now it might be a good situation, but Jimmy's like, I should be in the game. Why am I not in the game?
And you're pointing out the problem. And here's the thing, Nico. It's one thing for the fans to feel that way.
Right.
It might be another thing for the locker room to feel that way. And if we ever get to that place where the Rob Ninkovich is, the most important people on the team, the guys who actually run the locker room, where they feel that way, that's the one place trouble could start, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen that way. But I think this is a reflection on Jimmy G's personality. And not a lot of guys would be able to handle this situation well. You see it all the time. The young guy gets drafted, he's gonna take your spot, and then there's a really bad relationship with that player and the team moving forward. Jimmy G obviously isn't that way. He's been very mature about the process. He's been in that position as the young guy behind the veteran and then worked his way up. He's made the money, he's been to big games. He just had a shoulder surgery, so I think he understands the situation, how he can control the situation, and now that he has control, he's going to be the backup. He's going to give his shoulder more time to heal, number one, and he's not pushed into a new situation where he's got to learn the offense, help a team win that probably wasn't very good. So now he's on a good roster, still in the same offense, and he can rehab his shoulder.
No, look, I mean, I've been saying it for years, and again, I'm one who would know. When you're that kind of handsome, it's easier to put drama to the side. Okay, let's take a brief break on that thought as we continue in a moment. With Lamar Jackson taking to social media to weigh in on his contract situation, what advice does our crew have for the young superstar before the season begins? Plus, holy smoke, Baker Mayfield and a new home lookout for the Panthers, why the Carolina quarterback is poised to stun the NFL this season. Wait till you see this. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and as you probably know, Lamar Jackson's contract deadline for week one of the NFL season is on the horizon. Earlier this week, after a period of time in which it feels that there's been nothing coming out of these negotiations, no conversation, Lamar Jackson brought the conversation himself to social media. I'll show it to you again in case you've missed it. Someone tweeted this. I will point out this is not an information person. It is not a person to our knowledge of any significance to the situation. Someone just tweeted, Lamar Jackson is a league MVP and he still hasn't broken the bank. Ravens, you're on the hot seat. Give that man $250 million guaranteed. Someone else responded to that. He wants more. They already offered that. Lamar Jackson responded to that guy saying, no, they didn't. So he wants to make sure you know that. And then, oh, by the way, in case you wondered, well, was that a mistake? Someone else tweeted a picture of Lamar Jackson in a Dolphins uniform, and Lamar Jackson liked it. He hit the like button on Twitter, which in this day and age is kind of like demanding a trade. I don't know how else to put it. So clearly, and Booger McFarland, I've not had a chance to ask you about this. As we wait and see how this thing is going to play out, I mean, here you're laughing. Like, this is the world we live in. Lamar Jackson, who could be sitting on $230 million, is now, he wants to make sure the world knows what's going on here. How do you read all of this?
Well, yeah, he wants to make sure the world knows what's going on, Greeny. I think when he told us the deadline of he's not going to negotiate it after the season starts, I think he let everyone know what he was thinking. And, you know, I don't get into the whole social media liking and the comment I think we all know this. I think the Ravens know that Lamar is not going to hold out. So they're using that in the back of their mind. Lamar also wants to play because he doesn't want to let his teammates down nor the city of Baltimore. If Lamar really wanted to put a hard deadline, Greeny, and say, hey, if this deal is not done by when the season starts next Thursday night, I'm not playing. Then now the Ravens would have to call his bluff, because I guarantee you no one in Baltimore who wants a bounce back season after last year when it was injury field wants to go out there with Huntley, even though we think Huntley is a nice backup. I think that's the only way this deal gets done. Otherwise, Lamar Jackson is going to go out there, and I wouldn't do it, but he's going to go out there and he's going to play under this deal, and we're all going to wonder why he's leaving so much money on the table, because we all know he's worth it. And the problem is he just won't force the Ravens' hand, and I think the Ravens know that.
Here's, I think, where we are. To put this in context for some fans who may not have followed this closely, this all really comes back to the contract that Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson, because it seems impossible to imagine the Ravens aren't comfortable paying Lamar Jackson franchise quarterback money.
Right.
If he hasn't earned it, who has?
Right.
The problem is Cleveland reset that market in a way
that is such
an outlier that maybe the Ravens are saying, look, no one should be going to that place. And that's where the problem is.
Well, here's the problem for the Ravens. Somebody did go there.
That's right.
So, as a GM told me, Lamar Jackson should write on a piece of paper, 230, slide across the table and say, that's where we start. And I like that Lamar is saying, setting the record straight, because if somebody tweeted to me, oh, ESPN offered her 250 and she didn't want it, I would definitely tweet back at them and said, no, they didn't. Because I think it's important, because he doesn't have an agent who's going to tell him, play hardball. You need to sit out. Do not risk injury. Sit on the sideline, kick those J's up, and just let them come to you with an offer. But because of that, Lamar is the nice guy, and I'm worried about him stepping on the field without that insurance of that big money contract.
I think everyone is worried about it. That's the point. And look, I brought this up earlier this morning. I get it. Kirk Cousins did it.
Yep.
It worked. I get it. Dak Prescott did it, and it worked. Lamar Jackson, it looks like, is going to do it, and it will probably work. But you will be, to some degree, holding your breath every time you see him get hit this year. Let's hope it doesn't go in that direction. Meantime, as I mentioned, we are brought to you today by DraftKings Sportsbook, and they have asked us for some predictions, which are brought to you by DraftKings. So today's question is, which quarterback will have the most passing yards in the entire NFL this season? Ninko, I'm starting with you.
I'm going with Josh Allen. I really think that Josh Allen's going to have a huge year. The confidence of last year and how that season ended last year, I really think that this team in Buffalo, they're going to be really, really good, and Josh Allen is my MVP pick as well.
So that's one vote for Josh Allen. Kmart, who's going to have the most passing yards?
I am with everything Ninko said, except since Patrick Mahomes became the Chiefs starter in 2018, he leads all NFL quarterbacks in a lot of categories, including passing yards and passing touchdowns, which is why, as much as I love Josh Allen and think he's my favorite to be Super Bowl MVP, I think Mahomes will actually throw more passing yards.
Booger McFarland, who's going to lead the league in passing yards this year?
Greeny, I'm going with Justin Herbert. I think through his first couple years in the league, nobody has thrown for as many yards. I think Himbo can pull up and correct me if I'm right or wrong on that stat. And so if you look at what the Chargers want to do, Greeny, I think they're going to unleash Justin Herbert, and they're going to make sure that the NFL knows that this man is the real deal. And I think it's going to come down between him and Josh Allen for the MVP, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I can go on and on. This offense is going to be absolutely dynamite in Los Angeles.
You know what was fascinating to me was how each of you got closer and closer to the right answer.
And yes.
You worked your way into the division. Booger worked his way through some of the weapons. Do you know who else is a quarterback of that division with even better weapons?
Yeah.
Derek Carr. Do not sleep on the Raiders with
this.
Josh McDaniels as their coach, he is going to be an outstanding second-year coach. Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and oh, by the way, they just added the best receiver in the entire National Football League in Devontae Adams. People are sleep, and they play in that division with a bad defense, which means they're going to need to score 45 points every single week. Carr will be throwing the ball in the fourth quarter of 17 games this year. Derek Carr is going to wind up leading the league in passing passing yards. How do you like that, Martin?
I actually like that. I'm really excited about the Raiders. So I'm shocked. I thought you were going to say like Joe Burrow or something.
No, not Joe Burrow. So, it was either Derek Carr or Zach Wilson. If Zach were healthy, I would go Zach. But he's going to miss a game or two at the beginning.
Wow.
That'll be the difference. Outside, Zach will only throw for 5,000 yards now as a result of the injury. All right. Our DraftKings, by the way, we thank them for being with us today. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Download the app and use the code GETUP when you sign up. As we continue, after an unusually long absence from camp, what exactly does Tom Brady need to do and do right now before the Bucs begin their season? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN. Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And a little inside information. Booger McFarland and I have a big golf date coming up on Sunday. And I can tell you right now, Booger, who's not playing with us. And that's Jalen Rose. Can you give your assessment of Jalen's golf game, please?
Oh, are you kidding me? Well, first of all, Greeny, there's a lot of lower body movement before the club actually hits the ball. But, I mean, he's 6'9". Just like, I mean, he really should be able to just turn and turn through and the ball go a mile.
Listen, I think that what we've learned from this is that I'm not convinced he's left-handed. I'm not 100% sure that he's playing with the right hand. I think all of us are now worse at golf for having seen this. So that's my takeaway.
Listen, Greeny, I'm not convinced that the clubs are long enough, first of all. Here's what I would tell Jalen. If you're going to go play golf, find some clubs that fit you at some point.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus was watching that, and Jack quit the game. That's how bad it was. All right, let's continue. Back to the NFL. The Bucs kick off their season on September 11th. They play the Cowboys on the road. Tom Brady returned to practice, as you know, after an 11-day absence for personal reasons. The former Bucs coach and current senior football consultant is Bruce Arians. He was here on First Take yesterday. He likes what he sees from Brady at 45 and from this team heading into the season.
Watching him at practice every day, he's throwing the ball better than he has in like 10 years. And when he's on the practice field, the energy level in the whole building goes up. So not worried about Tom. That's one guy you don't have to worry about. This is probably the best roster we've had since I've been there. I feel very, very solid with the offensive line. That's not going to be an issue. Plus, Tom knows how to handle a young offensive line. All right, he's not going to stand back there and hold the ball very long. And so the talent on the roster from top to bottom is outstanding.
Talent on the roster from top to bottom is outstanding. I don't feel like that's the conventional wisdom. Booger, you live in Tampa. You're as close to this as anyone can be. Is the talent on this roster from top to bottom outstanding?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, Greeny, I think this is the most talented team that the Bucs have had. It may not be the most named noteworthy teams that they've had, but let's just start on defense. They're going to be better up front. You get Hicks, you get Logan Hall, I think that defensive line has the potential to be dominant. The secondary, let's remember, Greeny, their starting secondary only played together like two games last year. Mm-hmm. So when you add the talent in the draft, when you also add the talent in free agency, and you throw in the health, this will be the best defense that the Bucs have had during this little era of this little run. Now, yeah, the offensive line, there are some issues up front, but Tom Brady didn't make it 27,000 years in this league holding the football. So Bruce is right. Tom is going to get rid of the football, and if their playmakers on the outside, Godwin, Evans, Gage, those guys can stay healthy, the Bucs are going to be hell to deal with, Greeny, especially once they get late in the season, when they learn all their personnel, they're going to be a handful to deal with.
Yeah, they will get Godwin back at some point, and some people still believe they will get Gronk back at some point, and we'll see if that winds up happening. Kmart, that's what we talked about earlier in the show today, and that's why I'm glad Booger was here for that, because the really famous names on the backs of the jerseys, a lot of those guys are gone, but that doesn't mean the players who have replaced them aren't actually going to wind up being better.
Yeah, when you talk to people within the Bucks organization, they're very confident. They are well aware of the outside noise about how everybody may be writing them off or thinking, oh, what's Brady going to do where this team is not talented? Internally, what Bruce Arians said is not hyperbole. They are confident in the people that they have, especially the kids that they've drafted last year and this particular year on the offensive line. They are unproven to us. We haven't seen them in regular season games, but they believe that this group that they've drafted, plus this coaching staff, like this is why a Tom Brady's here. This is why you feel confident Todd Bowles stepping in for Bruce Arians. You don't feel like there's a major drop-off. Some people might say the Bucks are in better hands with the Todd Bowles running their defense. You have Byron Leftwich. Like, all of these pieces are the reason that you're confident that all of these people, all of this experience, can withstand whatever setbacks that they're experiencing.
The one big question mark, though, does remain the interior of the offensive line. And, Ninko, you played with Tom Brady all those years. No quarterback likes pressure. And what did you call it this morning? A mess at his feet? Whatever term you used for what will be around his feet. That's the biggest concern here, yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you lose your starting center, somebody that was the anchor and helps you make all the protection calls and somebody that you can trust. And listen, every single play starts with the snap. So we've seen snaps that go bad. You know, there was a snap in the Super Bowl that went bad. Just ask Peyton Manning about that. So, again, I think that there's always concern for backups when they come in. Not to say that those backups won't perform at the same level or better than the guys that were in front of them. That's happened in the past, too. But again, you look at this roster, it's a good roster, it's a great roster. And Tom Brady, of course, he's Tom Brady, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. And now when he walks in that building, everyone, if there's ever an issue with this roster, they say, it's okay, we got Tom Brady. So that's a lot of pressure on Tom at 45 years old, and he can do it, he can handle it. He's done it before, and he's gonna continue to play really well. So it's gonna come down to staying healthy and protecting Tom Brady at 45 years old. If they can stay healthy and they can protect Tom, they're going to be a really, really great team.
Yeah, and look, I mean, most of the really good teams, we think, are in the AFC, so they've got a shot over there. Okay, we debuted a new feature today called I Could Be Wrong, But. I'm going to give each of you a quick take.
Is
this the way we're seeing things? And, Ninko, it starts with you because you're a Chicago guy. I watched on the DVR yesterday that preseason game that Justin Fields played on Saturday. And that was one spectacular half of football. And so I could be wrong, but all this talk about how the Bears are going to be the worst team in the NFL and Fields is doomed, I'm starting to wonder if maybe that is a little bit overstated. I'm not putting this team in the Super Bowl, don't get me wrong. But that maybe, just maybe, this change and Fields are headed in the right direction. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I mean, I think that Field has a bright future, but the team around him right now, they're still looking for some key pieces here. But again, every time a team looks terrible, they say, well, it's the preseason. And every time somebody looks really good, people say, well, it's the preseason. So I want to see what this looks like in the regular season when they're playing really good football teams, when they're playing a tough division, when they're playing the Packers. Now let's see what they look like, because in the preseason, it's really hard to gauge what you're looking at, especially with the competition you're going up against.
They opened with San Francisco, and again, the 49ers chose Trey Lance ahead of Justin Fields.
Yep.
It's an interesting week one battle. Kmart, I come to you next, because I feel like last year you were my Baker Mayfield correspondent. And the world has written him off. And the Browns were only too happy to get rid of him.
Yep.
I may be wrong, but I think Baker Mayfield is about to resurrect a career that was not in nearly as much trouble as it was made out to be. But this is a guy who was hurt last year and played hurt all year. And he is going to lead the Carolina Panthers to the playoffs this season. What do you think of that?
Okay, you know what? I was with you on resurrecting the career, and then you mentioned playoffs. No, I'm going to disagree with you there. I think Baker will resurrect his career and solidify himself as, yes, I deserve to be a starting quarterback. Do not see them making the playoffs, but I'm hoping Baker has a good season because week one, I will be in Carolina to see the Browns, his former team, against the Carolina Panthers. I think this is a very good situation. Sam Darnold's out the pitcher. This is Baker's team. Playoffs seems a little too...
The first week matchup could not be more delicious if you consider him playing against the Browns. All right, Booger, I saved the best for last. You got to like this. There are three starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now that we all jumble together because at one moment in time, they were all on the same roster at Alabama. Mac Jones, who had a great year last year. Tua, who has all the eyes on him and everything else. But I'm telling you, the best of them is going to be Jalen Hurts. Hurts is going to solidify himself as the quarterback in Philadelphia, and that team is going to be scary and surprisingly good this year. What do you think of that, Booger?
Well, first of all, Greeny, I've never heard a football matchup called delicious. That's a new one. I'm gonna have to use that one. Second of all, as far as this is concerned, yeah, Greeny, he's got the better team. I think when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, I think top to bottom, especially where they're built, where the quarterback wants to know up front, that offensive line is outstanding. I think Jalen Hurts, with his athletic ability, throwing and running in year two of this Nick Sirianni offense, I think he's going to be really good. Plus, all the question marks surrounding Mac Jones in New England, and Tua, whether or not he can get it done, he's really on like a one-year leash. I think the most stability and the most talent is on the Philadelphia Eagles and with Jalen Hurts. So, yes, Greeny, you're not wrong for a change.
Great minds think alike. No, as I've said many times, like most geniuses, a mind will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. All right, that's the NFL story. This weekend, we got the great college football. Take a look at this lineup that we have coming your way. Look at Saturday. Back to back, you get Oregon, Georgia in the afternoon. That's the defending champ.
Look at Sunday night, Greeny.
One of the big
Sunday
teams
night,
out west.
Baby. Sunday night, baby. It's all about Sunday night.
Booger's excited to see Brian Kelly and LSU. And then sandwiched in between, oh, by the way, Notre Dame and Ohio State will go head-to-head for the seventh time in history. It is a magnificent weekend of college football. Booger will be in the studio helping you worry through all of the action that you will see on ABC. All right, as we continue, for the first time, John Gruden has spoken publicly about his departure from the Raiders, apologizing for the reason. Does he deserve another chance in the NFL? We will have that conversation. You'll hear from Gruden next. You are watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And since Booger McFarland is with us today, we'll play a game called Bouncing Around with Booger. There's a lot I need to catch up on. Boog, does Aaron Rodgers have enough on this roster in Green Bay to get back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he does, Greeny, because, again, we're just focused so much on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're going to have a top-five defense. And Aaron Rodgers, again, when you make $50 million a year, your job is to carry a lot of the water and make some of these young guys, Romeo Dobbs and Alan Lazard, all these guys, you got to make them better, and I think you will.
Next stop is Kansas City, or at least partially so. Who's going to miss who more, Patrick Mahomes or Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, Greeny, I think if you're looking at who's going to miss who more, I think Tyreek Hill is ultimately going to miss Patrick Mahomes just because he's going to miss the deep ball. We all knew that at some point, Mahomes is going to drop back and just chunk one up 60, 70 yards, and Tyreek was going to go get it. I think Tyreek is going to be successful in Miami, but he won't get as many deep balls as he got in Kansas City.
And then give me one more. What's a team we're sleeping on that will be a legit Super Bowl contender?
Well, it's got to be a team that didn't make the playoffs last year in the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they're going to be dynamite, Greeny, especially if the head coach Brandon Staley remembers that, hey, I can't go for it on my own four-yard line. Punt the football and allow Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and J.C. Jackson to play defense. If he does that, this offense is going to put up 28, 30, 35 points a game. And if the defense can even remotely stop the run, they are going to be a Super Bowl contender, Greeny.
You are right. And they lost the last week to miss out on a playoff spot. They lost to the Raiders. The Raiders, of course, had a very tumultuous season in a variety of different ways. And now, yesterday, for the first time, their former head coach, Jon Gruden, has spoken out about the emails that cost him his job. Emails, we should point out, that were written while he was working here at ESPN. In October, a Wall Street Journal article detailed some Gruden emails that had racist, anti-gay, and misogynistic language. 3 days later, more emails came out in the New York Times. Gruden resigned that night. Well, last night, Gruden spoke at the Little Rock Touchdown Club in his first public appearance since the scandal.
I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's just, it's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
So that was John last night, and I'm not exactly sure when that took place, but that last night was when it was released, and we all got to see it, and you heard some of the reaction there. So obviously there's a lot of reaction. He's someone that each of us in our own ways have known. Booger played for him. He was on my show every single week for 9 years, so we all have our own different feelings on all of this. Kmart, I'll start with you. What was your reaction to what Jon Gruden said? And I suppose the idea, he's saying he hopes he gets another shot, the idea that someday he might get another chance in the NFL.
Well, the thing that stood out to me was the real lack of contrition. It was, hey, I'm sorry about what came about, but I go to church. So, and I've been married a long time. So you guys off the bat know that I'm a good person and everybody makes mistakes. That rubbed me the wrong way because the apology didn't seem sincere. That said, you know, it was over half, you know, 500 million emails that were almost like 500,000 emails that were released, and only his emails that he sent were released. I always want to know what more was said out there. And I thought that part was unfair. But what, at the end of the day, this is language used by him. And if you're the NFL, I don't know how you make that okay, his entrance back into the NFL. You know, racist, anti-gay, like, I just don't know how you do it. More than that, though, his competency as a football coach. Like, that to me, when he got the job, he was talking about, I want to take this team back to, like, the 50s when we're running the ball. Like, you know, you have a report recently where he could have gotten Tom Brady and Gronk, and he said no. It's like questions about, has the game passed him by? Is he still a good coach? You know, retreads, like, I think there's the Jon Gruden football coach. Is it worth it to give him another shot? You can make a case. Not really. The game has moved on, and there are a lot of other minds that deserve that job more than him. And then, obviously, this stuff.
Booger, you played for him in Tampa. You won a Super Bowl with him as your head coach in Tampa. What was your reaction to what he said?
Yeah, I think you can tell after about a year that he's kind of ready to get out and face the music. And, you know, I've never been one to really judge people's apology because I think certain people are comfortable saying certain things and trying to put it in certain terms and context, and who are we to judge it? I try to take him and say, you know what? He got in front of a microphone, even though it was a limited crowd, and tried in his way to own what he said. It may be good for some. It may not be good for others. And here's what I'll say. I do not think he'll ever work in the NFL again. I do think, though, there's a way if he wants to be involved in football, I think he can. I think we live in a country that if you just go back over the last 20, 30 years, there are some people that have said and done some outlandish things. And those people are back in the public light and doing pretty well. I think the NFL boat has probably sailed. But I do think Jon Gruden can be a productive member of football society in some form if he chooses to, because as time moves on, evidence has shown us that this country will forgive and move on, even though some of us may not be able to do it right today.
Yeah, there's a difference between forgiveness and forgetting.
Right.
And maybe though the line between those two would be a place that he can find a way back in. We'll have to wait and see. Rob Ninkovich, what was your reaction?
Yeah, listen, we all make mistakes, and I do believe in forgiveness. I would say this, when me and my wife have ever been in an argument and I try to apologize for it, she never accepts the word but after the apology. Because that's something that she's always said. If I'm apologizing for something, don't follow it with but, because then it's trying to justify or make it less of a big deal. So whenever I am in an issue, I try to never say but. So that's the one thing that in that what he was doing, I don't like the but. I just don't like the but. So again, I do believe that we all make mistakes and there is time for forgiveness. And that apology just seemed a little bit less sincere.
Yeah, I think that was one of the problems. I agree with Booger. Not everyone is comfortable, and that is by its nature an uncomfortable moment. But when you follow the words "I'm sorry" with "but" and you say "but" more loudly than you said any of the previous words,
right.
And you also don't need to be the one who says lots of people make mistakes or we all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We get that. We all know we all make mistakes. The first time you come out and say you're sorry, I think the best way to do it is to say my words were shameful and I ask your forgiveness. He said those words. Mm-hmm. He said a lot of other words that I think will make a lot of people miss the words that he really needed to say first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if he will get another opportunity in the NFL. My overwhelming guess would be that he will not. We'll wait and see. In the meantime, I have to run to other things here. Second round U.S. Open coverage continues today. 11 more hours of coverage on ESPN starting noon Eastern. The big match tonight, of course, is Serena, who you will see in prime time. She has a shot against the 2 seed tonight. The expectation should not be that she will win tonight, but if she does, then we could be on the verge of something very special in Flushing. We will see. Tonight, primetime 7 Eastern, you'll see Serena Williams. And as always, you can watch every point streaming live on the ESPN app. First Take is on the way. Coming up next, is it Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys this year? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., and the Mad Dog on the way here on ESPN. Get Up is presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Tonight on ESPN2 and the ESPN app, Game 2 in the best-of-5 WNBA playoff semifinals. Suns won Game 1 against the defending champs. They play tonight at 8 Eastern. Then Sue Bird and Asia Wilson go head-to-head as the Storm take on the Aces. WNBA countdown gets it all started 7:30 Eastern. Before we make way for First Take, we debuted this feature called I Could Be Wrong But, and candidly, I liked it. So I'm going to give you one more. Here we go. Kmart, I'll start with you. We've been talking a lot about the Cowboys. Jerry Jones is talking about how this team is going to go deep into the playoffs. I'm going to say this right now. If the Cowboys are going to have a huge year and make a deep playoff run, Dak Prescott's going to be in the MVP conversation at the end of the season. What do you think of that?
Oh, Greeny, I cannot tell you you're wrong because I think that's 100% right. They need Dak to have a phenomenal year, not just good. Phenomenal. And if he does that, they will be in the playoffs and make a deep run.
What do you think of that, Booger?
Well, Greeny, water is wet. And I think that's basically what this statement says. I mean, the guy's making $40-plus million a year, Greeny. I mean, if the guy, if he can't do it, then who else is going to do it? I like the segment, Greeny, but we got to make the topics a little bit better, buddy.
MVP of the league. I'm saying
Book
he's going to
be
the
producer.
MVP of the
Look
league.
At this.
Ninko, help me.
Well, he's not going to be the MVP of the league, but if they're going to be what you're saying they're going to be, he's going to have to be to achieve that. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. So, you know, offensive line, receiving core, what's Zeke Elliott going to do this year?
He's making my point. In the way we talk about how Aaron Rodgers has to elevate everybody around him and all these, they're all I'm telling you, if Dak if Dak does that, they
Dak
can do the things
that.
Jerry is talking about. And I think he can do it with his legs, too. That's one of the many things
Agreed.
That we have not seen him do in the last couple of years because of the injuries.
I'm agreeing with you.
Got one right. Great fun today. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.